Good morning. It's time for Daily Chapel at the LCMS International Center in St. Louis. The text is 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 7 through 10. The Reverend Peter Lang is preaching. The broadcast of chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces.
A reading from 2 Corinthians chapter 4. But we have this treasure in jars of clay, so that the extraordinary character of the power might be seen to be of God and not of us. In every way, we are afflicted, but not crushed, in doubt, but not despairing, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed, always carrying in the body the putting to death of Jesus, so that also the life of Jesus might be manifested in our bodies. O Lord, have mercy on us.
Thanks be to God.
In many and various ways, God spoke to his people of old by the prophets.
But now in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son.
Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen.
We remember the saints, says the Augsburg Confession, so that we may follow the example of their faith and good works. Today we observe the feast of Saint Bartholomew. And who was Saint Bartholomew, you might ask? And you'd be justified in your asking, because we're not told a lot about him in the New Testament. He was one of the 12 apostles listed with the others in each of the Synoptic Gospels. For some reason, he's always listed right after Philip, and maybe that's why some believe he's the same person as Nathanael in John chapter 1, whom Philip found and said, "We found him of whom Moses and the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth." To which Nathanael replied, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" And Philip said, "Come and see." But whether or not Bartholomew was the same person as Nathanael, we do know from Acts chapter 1 that Bartholomew was a witness to the ascension of Jesus. But that's about all we know from the New Testament. Yet there are some interesting things that are also said about Bartholomew in the early tradition of the church, things that may be why today's reading is the appointed epistle for this feast day. No less a historian than Eusebius from the 3rd century said that Bartholomew later became a missionary to India, a tradition that Jerome also repeats. Finally, there's a tradition that Bartholomew ended up in Armenia, the eastern part of modern-day Turkey, where he tried to convert the king and was martyred for that in 69 AD. If you've ever seen an apostle's shield with three knives on it, that would be for Bartholomew, because it is said that he was flayed alive before being beheaded. So especially with his later missionary work and martyrdom in mind, listen again to today's brief reading from 2 Corinthians 4. We have this treasure in jars of clay, so that the extraordinary character of the power might be seen to be of God and not of us. In every way we are afflicted but not crushed, in doubt but not despairing, persecuted but not forsaken, struck down but not destroyed, always carrying in the body the putting to death of Jesus, so that also the life of Jesus might be manifested in our bodies. Paul wrote these words during his third missionary journey to the church in Corinth, which he had planted on his second journey. If tradition is right, Bartholomew still had about 15 years to live when Paul wrote these words, and may very well have already been in India. One of the main reasons for Paul writing this letter is because some were planting seeds of doubt in the minds of the Corinthians and questioning the validity of Paul's apostleship and therefore his ministry. And so in the early chapters of this epistle, Paul speaks much of his apostolic ministry, as well as that of Timothy, who was with him when he wrote this letter. And he speaks of the persecution and suffering that was a constant companion during his ministry. In Ephesus, for example, where he had just finished a long and very difficult pastorate. And so now, it's in this context that Paul says, "We." That is, he and Timothy, in the first instance, we have this treasure, that is, this ministry of the gospel of Christ. We have this treasure in jars of clay, that is, imperishable bodies that are vulnerable and subject to all kinds of abuse for the sake of the ministry to which God had called them. We have this treasure in jars of clay, so that the extraordinary character of the power might be seen to be of God and not of us. And then once again, in those four memorable pairings, Paul summarizes a theme that he's already talked about in chapter 1, and he'll come back to about five more times in this epistle. We are afflicted but not crushed, in doubt but not despairing, persecuted but not forsaken, struck down but not destroyed, always carrying in the body the putting to death of Jesus. And that theme of suffering on account of the gospel ministry is expressed most poignantly in Paul's memorable boasting from chapter 11 of this epistle, where he says that already by this point in his ministry, just 9 years into the ministry, he had suffered numerous imprisonments, countless beatings, received the 40 lashes less one on five different occasions, three times beaten with rods, one stoning, three shipwrecks, and was in constant danger from rivers and robbers, his own people, Gentiles, false brothers, and the like. And the suffering for the sake of the gospel ministry that Paul and Timothy certainly knew was also certainly the case for Bartholomew when that first sharp knife touched his skin. And that same suffering for the sake of the gospel ministry, even to the point of martyrdom, is said to have been true for all the apostles, save John. But it's not only apostles, missionaries, and ministers of the gospel who suffer for the sake of their witness to the gospel, is it? Many confessing Christians are punished in the workplace for not signing on to the latest progressive policies, for refusing to assent to things that conflict with God's word and their own conscience. And just as countless Christians are martyred in each generation in dark corners of the world, who knows when it might become our turn here in the U.S. to carry in our bodies the putting to death of Jesus. So on this day of remembrance, let us learn from Bartholomew and Paul and Timothy so that we who have this treasure in jars of clay may follow the example of their faith and good works. At the conclusion of this text, Paul leaves no doubt that the suffering that Christians experience as a consequence of their gospel witness counterintuitively leads to the very opposite of what is intended by those who persecute them. So that also the life of Jesus might be manifested in our bodies. The life of Jesus, the true and eternal life that is attained only in connection with Him who is the way and the truth and the life. This life was purchased at the cost of the putting to death of Jesus on the cross and is manifested to the unbelieving world in the way that Christians meet suffering and even death with serene confidence in Him who is the resurrection and the life and who will bring His own with Him through suffering to eternal life. And thus, the extraordinary character of the power is seen to be of God and not of us. As someone has said, union with Christ unto death in life has as its joyful consequence union with Christ unto life in death. The house of death cannot bring loss when we are sheltered by the cross that canceled our transgression. That's the lesson the Lord would teach us through His Apostle Paul on this feast of Saint Bartholomew. So whether ours is a martyr's death or a peaceful one in a hospice room surrounded by family and others who may not know Jesus, let us resolve to make the good confession in death as in life, singing even today, and when our earthly race is run, death's bitter hour impending, then may thy work in us begun continue till life's ending, until we gladly may commend our souls into our Savior's hand, the crown of life attaining. Amen.